And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Sometimes if you just trust in the universe, it'll lead you to the most unexpected places. Like the I-95!
Show's on!
Welcome to No Dunks. I'm Tass Mellis. With me in the Classic Factory, a man also wearing brown. Stray Kirby.
Hey yo.
All right, JD got in on that, baby. Yeah, super producer making it all happen, making the AOs happen. It's JD.
Hello.
What's up, JD?
What's up?
You already made it happen earlier today.
Yeah.
We already did a show, then we took a quick bathroom break. We went to our respective bathrooms. And and here we are. Show number two. Our first show, we let off, pun intended, with a little baseball. That was fun. Joel and I hanging out. Lots to talk about. Acuna or Freeman for the MVP. I know you got an opinion on that one, Trey.
Well, only one guy's going to be joining the 40-80 club, Tass.
The 40-80. If he does that, it's going to be difficult for him to accomplish that. But I agree with you. I'd go with Acuna. We had some good chats about fantasy punishments, too. Joel took us through some baseball-related fantasy punishments.
Okay.
You know, basically, like, he'd had one food-related one, or going to an opposing team's stadium and wearing your garb kind of thing, like in Yankee Stadium with Altuve gear.
Oh.
But yeah, that kind of thing. I didn't explain that all that well.
I saw a recent punishment. I don't know what sport it was from. I'm guessing football, but like they put a teenage kid inside of a cage and just covered him with chocolate sauce and eggs.
What kind of cage?
Like a dog cage. I don't know. This seemed like a pretty bad punishment. But
yeah.
Then I was like, well, I kind of had to do the exact same thing on the starters once upon a
true.
Time.
That's true.
It takes a long time to get egg out of your hair.
Yeah.
But very shiny afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wait, we
yeah.
had eggs nourishing. And chocolate, right?
Eggs, chocolate.
Yeah.
I think milk. I feel like I drank milk out of an Andrew Wiggins shoe.
100%. 100%.
In the same punishment?
It was like, yeah.
Milk drinking?
It was definitely a messy one.
Oh, it was messy.
Sure. Yeah.
Just the whole dairy family. It was a dairy punishment. Yeah. I've forgotten about that one. Also, a little housekeeping. Join us on Friday. We'll be watching Greece and USA on Playback. Jump in the show notes. It's right there. Jump in the chat. Playback.tv/nodunks. It's a World Cup warm-up.
We're going to find out who that guy is.
We're going to find out who that guy is, yeah.
Can't wait to see that guy.
If you're joining us on YouTube, it's a Greek, standard Greek. Nico, I think, is his first name. But, yeah, Yanis isn't playing, unfortunately, but we'll be having fun. 12 o'clock Eastern. Join us then. Maybe Skeets will come along. Nah, he's in Toronto. He'll be back next week. He picked this Greek man for the thumbnail over Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who will be suiting up, as well as Kostas Papanikolaou and other Greeks. So join us then. It'll be fun. All right, moving on here. We had some news. The first in-season tournament is upon us.
Yeah, baby.
This is history, Trey. We finally got through. We're living through history. This is an era. We finally got the schedule. It's dropped. So quick summary of how the in-season tournament works. I'll make it quick. There are six groups with five teams each. Each team plays four group games. They're on Tuesdays and Fridays in November. That's the important part. And after that group stage, the six group winners plus two wild cards will move on to the quarterfinals, which are played on December 4th and 5th. The semifinals and finals will be in Vegas December 7th and 9th. So those are all kind of clumped together. I didn't know that they would be happening that quickly, so I think that's a smart move. And all games but the final are part of the standard 82-game sched. Just that NBA Cup game will be game 83 for two teams. NBA Cup, I like that.
That's right.
I think it's a smooth move. All right, so we got the sched after examining it, Trey. What games are you most excited for?
All of them. All of them, Tass. I just love the in-season tournament. I can't wait to get on board. My first thought on these national games, which I think is the biggest question, is Every team, I think, should have had a national TV game.
Interesting.
For the in-season tournament, since it's a tournament for all 30 teams, unlike the playoffs, where we're really talking about the top 16 to 20, depending on how you look at it. The Suns have three games, the Spurs have three games, and then there's a whole bunch of teams that have two. I think there's a total of 14 national TV games, plus another two NBA TV games, which are pseudo-national games. So they could have been able to get all 30 teams in there, but they didn't because the NBA really wants this to succeed. They also are going to be showcasing Victor Wembanyama. They want to put their best foot forward. It's early in the season, trying to get the biggest eyeballs. But looking at the schedule, there's a few games that definitely stuck out to me. November 10th, the Lakers versus the Suns. That's LeBron versus Kevin Durant. They haven't played against each other since 2018 just because of injuries and rest and not crossing over. Unfortunately, they will be meeting also on October 26th, earlier in the season. They probably play that game, but it'll still be interesting to watch Lakers versus Suns. Two teams, I think, that are going to be near the top of the Western Conference. Two teams that are going to be competing for the title. And obviously, LeBron and KD go head-to-head a lot of times in these kind of matchups. So I think that's a big one.
Yeah, there's a lot of good teams in the NBA. So naturally, there's going to be a lot of good games here.
Yeah.
There won't be any Raptors. There won't be any Bulls.
That's right.
We're just down bad at this point. But I
can't believe the Raptors and Bulls didn't get a game. Such watchable teams that everyone loves.
Yeah, we're getting games here in November. I think that's the biggest thing is, like, from an NBA perspective, it's just a bigger platform. They're trying to make it a bigger platform. And I think Adam Silver learned from his predecessor. David Stern knew that the November schedule wasn't all that juicy.
Yep.
Christmas is when the NBA actually starts for the casual fans. And so I think this is just, hey, these games mean something. We'll get to the Commissioner's Cup and then WNBA and how that tournament has worked the last few years. And it gives these November games some juice. I don't think you can really argue that. And really, it's a lot of the same teams. There's six groups, and they're sort of, you know, they've already been assigned. They're sort of random, but they are Eastern Conference-based and Western Conference-based. And I understand people will think these games are meaningless, but we're in an era where, you know, we like to pump up the things we like.
Mm.
You know, I like basketball, so I'm going to talk about it.
I too like basketball.
The media is going to talk about it. People on X are going to talk about it. People on every platform are going to talk about it. So it's going to work, I think. So as far as the games goes, like, you're seeing a lot of, like you said, similar games from the other part of the season because there are three groups of Eastern Conference mm-hmm. teams and three groups of Western Conference teams. Like, you're getting a Christmas Day game months earlier. You're getting Knicks-Bucks months earlier. You're getting Spurs-OKC, which I was actually legitimately excited for.
November 14th, that's a huge one, I thought.
The Presti Bowl. You know, call it what Tony Parker gave a shout-out when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He said, R.C. Buford, you made this thing, but let me give a quick shout out to Sam Presti too, because he was there for all my workouts when you guys selected me and made me who I am. So yeah, that's the future there. OKC and the Spurs, and we'll get to a little of the Christmas Day games and teams like OKC and the Spurs who missed out. But yeah, lots of great games.
Yeah, Wemby versus Chet is going to be awesome. November 14th for a doubleheader, all of these games are on Tuesdays and Fridays. November 28th, you got the Bucks versus the Heat, and then the Warriors versus the Kings. Two playoff rematches. I think that's going to be awesome. The Kings and Warriors do play earlier in the season as well, but those are two teams that are just fun to watch go against each other. Especially, we had the Domantas Sabonis Draymond Green stomp incident during the playoffs, and then of course the Bucks and the Heat. The 8-1 upset in the playoffs earlier this year, so that was really exciting.
Yeah, Warriors-Kings, you just said, let's get to those groups. Did you make a mistake? Because I see you looking at something.
Couldn't believe that the Milwaukee Bucks were the one seed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, the that was a big-time upset.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
Remember that?
I thought they wouldn't take the regular season seriously. It was sort of an upset. And the fact that Chris Middleton was out all year. I know people are saying that the Celtics are the favorites in the Eastern Conference. They're actually the favorites to win this tournament as well from the Eastern Conference. But that's weird. Why?
I think they got the easiest group.
Okay.
That's what it is to me, is East C. I'm going to call it the group of dunks, since it's got all of our teams in there. Obviously, the Bulls and the Raptors facing off in East C. You throw in Esh's Boston Celtics, and we're really talking about three of the four most no-dunksy teams in the league. If they would have been able to work the Hawks in there, it would have been perfect. But the Celtics should pretty easily win East C, I do believe, because, you know, they were at the top of the Eastern Conference for a huge chunk of last season. The Nets, their record is a little artificially inflated from last year because of the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden start to the season when they were really good. Then they kind of turned into more of a play-in team as the year went on and they made the big trade with the Suns. So you got three play-in quality teams, I think, in the Nets, Raptors, and Bulls. And then the Magic are going to be scratching to get into the play-in tournament as well. So you're looking at four teams in East C that are going to be seeded at the end of the year, like between 9 through 12, yeah. Most likely, which is why I think the Celtics are most likely to advance out of their groups, out of all the groups out there. Then you look out in the Western Conference, and all of these groups are stacked in the West because there are so many good teams in the West. In West A, you've got the Lakers and Suns. We talked about their playing pretty early in the tournament. Those are two teams who are going to be trying to get into the finals this year. West B has four MVP candidates, if you want to throw Kawhi Leonard into the mix, not to mention a new-look team in the Rockets who are going to be probably taking this tournament super seriously. And then West C, you've got Steph Curry and all of the young buzzy guys in Wembanyama, Chet Holmgren, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, De'Aaron Fox, like a bunch of young up-and-coming stars. So the West is completely stacked. And once you see it broken down into the groups, you're like, oh, I guess the Eastern Conference hasn't made that much headway when it comes to conference imbalance.
Absolutely. The more intriguing groups are in the Western Conference, 100%. Yeah, their group C1 is a little soft in the Eastern Conference, and the Westerns are, they're all tough. There's no free ride to the quarterfinals and to a potential $500K for each winning player, the first NBA Cup, and hoisting it over their heads in Las Vegas for any squad in the Western Conference. So which one is the most intriguing from those Western? It's got to be a Western Conference. A Western group, right? It's not an Eastern group because you're right. Yeah, they're super stacked.
I think, I guess I would say West B is probably the most intriguing group for me because it's got the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Mavericks, and the Rockets. The Rockets are probably at the bottom of that group, but early in the season is when young teams thrive the most before, you know, maybe the lack of depth catches up as the season goes on. Less of a scouting report. They're going to be bringing in a whole bunch of new players. So I think the Rockets can at least be competitive in the first month of the season. And then I feel like between the Nuggets, Clippers, Pelicans, and Mavericks, any of those teams could easily win this group depending on who they have available. We assume the Nuggets will be at full strength with Jokic and Murray, so they're going to be the favorites, obviously. But if Kawhi Leonard is healthy to start the season with the Clippers, if Paul George is still healthy at that time, the Clippers are going to be a tough out there. Same for the Pelicans. If Zion's on the court, they were first place in the Western Conference when he was healthy last season. And then the Mavericks, I think, are definitely better this year, adding Grant Williams and just adding more depth and role players alongside Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, who now will have had more time to get used to playing alongside each other. I think that group is going to be really tough and
absolutely
hard to tell who's going to come out of that West B.
Yeah, I can't decide if West B or West C is the group of death. There's probably a little more top-end teams in West B with the Nuggets. But at the same time, West C could easily have that with the Warriors, the Kings, and then you've got the Wolves, Thunder, and Spurs. So, yeah, both absolutely stacked. West A, I guess, is the group that you'd want to be in if you want to advance because it's a little difficult in B and C, but the Suns and Lakers, and then you've got the Grizzlies without John Morant at this point of the season. And then the Jazz and Blazers to round out that group. And I think it is sort of interesting considering that these games are all in November and then early December. There will unlikely be any teams that have trades go on because trades don't usually happen at this point. Yep. And then December 15th is the point where newly signed players can be traded. So there's that little tiny, tiny thing. But I do think it's weird that they decided to keep all Western Conference teams and all Eastern Conference teams together. I just thought
they didn't need to break it down by conference, I guess.
Yeah. I don't really understand the reason. Flights? But we don't know the rest of the schedule. The rest of the schedule, the actual NBA schedule, is going to be released on Thursday, so we don't know where they're flying from. And I ain't doing that work. I don't care about that. I just think it would be nice for fans to have an extra game. If you're a Pelicans fan, you get to go see, you know, you see Trae Young come to town one more time, or that kind of thing. Just one additional game, because they always play the Eastern Conference teams. Why another one? Are they trying to build that rivalry? I don't really get that. I think this is supposed to be different, so why not? It's a good opportunity for a fan base to see another game from the other conference.
I suppose every team plays each other in their group twice, right?
I think it's just once.
Oh, they play each other once.
Yeah.
So it could have been only one of two of the interconference games. Yeah, I guess they could have done it. Maybe they will going forward, but it definitely doesn't have to be broken down by East and West. If I'm looking at a group, though, that's the ripest for an upset where the alleged top seed will not go through, I think it is East A, which is the Sixers, the Cavs, the Hawks, the Pacers, and the Pistons. The Sixers are a little unsettled right now, to say the least. Early in the season, they could still be dealing with James Harden drama. That is a guy we've seen traded early in the season in the past, so maybe their team isn't at full strength. But then you look at teams like the Pacers and the Pistons. Like I said, young teams are more apt to catch you off guard early in the season, so I could see them. Like, I don't see a lot of difference between the Hawks, the Pacers, and the Pistons to start the year. As time goes on, surely the Hawks will finish higher in the standings, but I think that those three teams can be pretty equal if everything goes right. And then the Cavs, I mean, they've definitely improved this year. They had a great season last year, but I don't think they're locked in as the second-best team in East A. Wouldn't be surprised to see one of the lower seeds from last season go through A.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's the one you can sneak in. A little sneaky.
A little sneaky.
B gets harder and C gets harder in the Eastern Conference. But I wonder how this is all just going to shake out. Like, if coaches are going to decide, we're going to put our younger guys in on these tournament games. Like, Coach Adrian Griffin, new coach for the Milwaukee Bucks, said a couple months ago when he was hired, I think this is a good opportunity for younger players to see some brighter lights. And during the group play, the lights are going to be the exact same tone. I mean, exact same amount of lumens.
Same old lights.
Yeah, nothing changing. But when you get to the semifinals and the finals, I could see his point, because we just watched the Commissioner's Cup on Tuesday on Amazon Prime, and the lights were a little bit brighter. That one was in Las Vegas because the Las Vegas Aces are awesome. But I wonder if coaches are going to decide to do something different with their rotations. It hasn't happened in the WNBA for 3 years that they've done it, according to Sabrina Merchant, who works for The Athletic, who was on the pod a little bit earlier this season. I think it was July that we had her on. But I just wonder in general, let me ask you this way. Is the league taking the right steps to make it relevant, to make this thing a thing?
Well, they did a huge schedule release before we actually get the real schedule for the NBA, so they're invested in blowing it up. And the thing that sticks out to me as something that's a smart marketing move for the league is on, I think it's November 25th, if I have my dates right, November 24th, sorry, the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Four national games. We got a quadruple header on that day. That's a day that a lot of people have off work and are sitting home. People are watching football on Thanksgiving. Maybe they're going to be watching the in-season tournament on that next Friday. So I think that's a pretty big move to have an appointment viewing kind of thing going down on a day where people will have a chance to sit and watch. Paying the players, I think, is going to be big. We'll see how it shakes out with regards to rotations and younger players, because I think the timing of the tournament kind of suggests that young players will get more of a chance, just because coaches are giving young players more of a chance earlier in the season, before the leashes get shorter, before the rotations really shrink. You need everybody for an 82-game season, and since this is part of the regular season, those young guys are going to be playing before maybe they've lost the trust of the coach, or maybe another trade has happened, or somebody picks up an injury. So the rotations in at least the group stage, I think, are going to be pretty deep. And then once we get into the knockout stage, we'll see how different teams and different coaches decide to handle things.
I like to nerd out with the schedule. So you said Black Friday, day after Thanksgiving, it's going to be hot, four national games. There's no football on that day, right? They skip that threat. And they don't try and steal anything from just because, like, everybody's at home and football's basically put on every day of the week. It feels like they have Thursday, obviously Thanksgiving. They get their triple header. But I'm like 99% sure they don't have Black Friday, because we're going to get to Christmas Day a little bit later. We're going to rank the top five Christmas Day games that have been set. And I know the NFL is trying to take a piece of that. They've got three games on Christmas Day, which is a Monday.
It does look like we have one game on November 24th in the NFL, Dolphins-Jets.
Can the NFL just step off for a second? I mean, like, they want every day, man. They want every day. They're coming for every day.
That's a big game, too. I mean, Rodgers.
Yeah.
In the AFC East. Let's see how he does. I don't know what I'm saying, but I do think that actually will be a sort of big game in the NFL.
Yeah,
but it's only
right.
one. It's only it's one. Only one. And who's it going to be going head-to-head against? The Orlando Magic versus the Boston Celtics. Unfortunately, I do think the NFL is going to outdraw for that time slot. But the next one's all NBA.
No, we're good. We're good. The ESPN ones. San Antonio, Golden State, Miami, New York. Boston, Orlando, Phoenix, Memphis on the NBA TV, which is national TV, which isn't national TV. Anyway, you're right. The money, I think, is interesting, because I know the initial thought was, $500,000 per player for the winning team. Everybody makes $50 million. They don't care. That ain't true. There are plenty, plenty of players who make below $10 million. Broken down like this, from base salary, from $0 million, let's call it that, to $10 million, 65% of players live in that world where they're making under 10 million, five, six. So 500K is a real sum. Lots of players make 200, 2 million or 3 million. And that's why I think, going back to the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin, thinking that maybe young players would be a little bit more motivated for 500K. But hearing Richard Jefferson on ESPN during the reveal of the in-season tournament schedule, he was saying players are going to play for that. 500,000 really means stuff. And maybe that's because RJ's not playing in this modern era, and he played a few years ago where 500K meant more, but it still does. I think it still does. Again, Bobby Marks broke it down with 65% of players earn under 10, but it's a good chunk of players, make that 4 or 5. So that's 10%.
Yeah.
10% bonus. Hello. And you're playing for it. You're playing hard for it, I assume. Like, the group stage, as much as I say it's going to be a little bit more juice to it, it's... They're games.
They're
regular season games. But I think once you get to the quarterfinals, especially the semifinals and the finals, which is where the NBA is making its money from sponsors and all that, more so. I think, players will be playing for it. To go down the line, 500K for each player on the winning team, 200K for players on the second place team, and then a measly 100K for players on the losing semifinals teams. And even if you make the quarterfinals and you lose there, it's $50,000 per player. All that to say,
you want to make the knockout stage.
You get a bonus.
If I were making a company man case, I would say that these in-season tournament games are the most meaningful games on the schedule because they count twice. They count for the regular season, and they count for the tournament, and you get paid for the regular season, and maybe you get paid for the tournament as well. These are the most important games on the entire schedule, Tass.
What a sell! Just sold it.
Get me that NBA hat that you saw, because that's an NBA hat kind of take right there. But there are a few teams, like, in the bottom 10 in team payrolls this season who you could see advancing. Sacramento, 22nd in payroll right now. 23rd are the Oklahoma City Thunder. If you want to get crazy, the Pacers, 29th in the league. There are teams where $500,000 per player, or even the $25,000 to $50,000 that you're getting just for advancing, that's a big deal.
Totally. It totally is. And, moving over to the WNBA, where we watched the third Commissioner's Cup happen just yesterday, the Las Vegas Aces hosting the New York Liberty, and the Liberty came in there and took care of business. It was a really fun game to watch. In Las Vegas, it was a great atmosphere. It was buzzing, and they wanted to win that game. It was clear. Obviously, the monetary bonuses are different in terms of percentage. But as we had Sabrina Merchant on, who covers women's basketball, a little earlier on July 17th on our pod, she said, last year when the Aces won the in-season tournament and then they won the finals, they celebrated like it was 80%. Like their in-season tournament was like 80% of their celebration of their finals. That's a high percentage. I don't know if we're going to get that. But they had hats. That's the key. I think that just shows you that this is an actual trophy they are playing for because they gave them hats. The Liberty celebrating, Ionescu was balling. What'd you think of the game?
That was a really fun game to watch, and I thought that it definitely mattered to the players out there. Kind of felt like a game seven, how sloppy it started. A lot of jitters out there. Neither team could score for at least the first 3 minutes of the game. It maybe even stretched into the fourth minute, but eventually Marine Johannes kind of caught fire.
Oh,
17 points for her. And then, yeah, the celebrations, they were nice afterwards. We got merch, we got hats, we got shirts, we got beautiful cups handed out for the MVP, Jonquel Jones, who was dominant inside. And afterwards, you heard Breanna Stewart say, "This is the first piece of hardware we're bringing home." The Aces won the Commissioner's Cup last year before going on to win the championship. The Liberty are a team that just came together this year. Whole bunch of new players. So for them, it was definitely significant to get their first win here. A lot of WNBA players are used to playing European schedules where they might have more championships rather than just the big one at the end. So
right.
Maybe it's more built in to the game for the WNBA, but it looked like an intense game. It felt like a playoff game. Maybe it didn't feel like game seven of the NBA finals, but it felt like it really mattered to the Liberty and to the Aces.
Totally. And you bring up a European point. That's a good point. I heard Spears say this, that there's an European influence in the NBA game as well, and they tend to care about it. And maybe not year one here as we get into October, November, but as you saw last night with the WNBA side of things, tell people they're winning a trophy, and you add a little monetary bonus to it, which could rise as the years go on in the NBA. Everything seems to be rising. Yeah, I think it could matter. Maybe not year one for this NBA Cup, although it's a great name. I'd want to play for the NBA Cup if I was in the NBA. But I think we got a future here. I think the giving games in November a little bit more value makes a lot of sense for the NBA in general.
Absolutely. The schedule dropped last night. I was talking it over with Laura. She's like, "Why are they doing this?" I said, "Because people get bored with the NBA in November. It's exciting when the season comes back. We've just got a handful of games per night as we're kind of getting our feet under us. Then once the season really kicks in, it's just games every night and things can kind of get lost. So this gives it a little bit more weight, a little bit more spice. And if the championship game turns out like the WNBA Commissioner's Cup championship did, people are going to be excited because that was a back and forth game. The Las Vegas Aces crowd was definitely into it. And now looking forward, those two teams are on a collision course for the WNBA championship. As it goes further on, I think that's a little bit more motivation for a team like the Aces as well, saying, "Hey, they just took a regular season game off of us. They just took the Commissioner's Cup off of us. Now we got to bounce back and take care of business come real playoff time." So I think it gives us a little bit more spice in November and December, and it could pay off further down the line as well.
That's true. Yeah, the WNBA script couldn't be written any better. In terms of those two teams coming together, playing the Commissioner's Cup. They are the two headliner teams. And they actually play again tomorrow. I think they play Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get
back to the regular season.
Back to the regular season. Yeah, it's a little different in the WNBA because the tournament is 10 games of their 40-game schedule. So it's a larger chunk than these ones will be in the NBA. But getting to the traditional NBA schedule, we've got to talk about Christmas Day games. We've got to talk about opening night games. But we also got to take a break. We get paid here, too, on No Dunk. So we'll be right back.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. Designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/nodunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/nodunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to michelobultra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, we didn't get your mushroom freestyle there in the ad that we that we had yesterday. Kenny Rogers freestyle, mushroom freestyle, I should call it.
That's right.
This, yeah, so if you need to go, you know, fulfill your podcasting episode list, mm-hmm. go on back. August 15th. I don't have the time code, but
end of A block into B, the transitional period.
Yeah, we got, you know, things are a little light. Go back.
You think things are light because we're devoting two blocks here to a schedule that we don't even have the full schedule yet?
You know what? Welcome to August for sure.
That's right.
I don't really like talking about the whole NBA schedule. I like the key dates.
Yeah, I saw people saying, how come you're not doing this Friday after we have the entire schedule out?
Here, let me tell you. The Atlanta Hawks play the Washington Wizards 4 times. The Toronto Raptors play the Brooklyn Nets 4 times. I know the exact teams your favorite team is playing.
I bet 82 games every single team.
Yeah. What matters is
opening night.
The tent poles.
Christmas and a new tent pole, the in-season tournament.
We're talking about the in-season tournament.
We're talking tourneys.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we corporate shills? We're not getting paid by the NBA. It's something to talk about, and that's why the NBA did it, and that's why it's in November. I think they did it right. So yeah, we got some details on a few key dates, like Shams was dropping some first week games, some info there. But the full release Thursday, August 17th, as you said. We got the real information on opening night, Christmas Day, which we'll get to, but let's start with opening night. We got a Western Conference Finals rematch. The Lakers at the Nuggets. The Nuggets raising the banner. LeBron looking up at that thing, and then they shall play. And then, second game, Suns at the Warriors. Holy. That's Holy. KD, baby. That's KD playing in Golden State for the first time since leaving. If I'm not mistaken. I think
you're probably right. And
yeah, it just hasn't happened. We'll check as we talk here, but seeing those two games as the only two games on the opening night sked, did they get it right?
Yeah, I mean, they nailed it. This is Barbenheimer. Two blockbusters, honestly, right? It's like the three biggest legends currently in the NBA right now. LeBron, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. They're all playing. And the best player in the league is raising his first banner in Nikola Jokic. That's awesome. Like, you can't really get much better than that. It's a little odd to me that there's no Eastern Conference teams playing in this, but I feel like that's probably somewhat related to the Nuggets being in the Mountain time zone, so they have to have a little bit later start. You could easily bring in, I don't know, the Celtics and have them play against the Nuggets or start with a 7 o'clock game, but for the timing of the Nuggets, them being the kickoff, I think is huge. But yeah, this is going to be a great start to the season. You got a playoff rematch in the Nuggets and the Lakers. You've also got a little bit of spice between LeBron and Michael Malone.
Yeah.
Is that a rivalry? Can you have a rivalry between a coach and a player because one guy fake retired and then another guy made a joke about it and then another guy made a joke about joking about it? I don't know, but it feels like there's a little extra spice. And, you know, the Lakers did get swept last season. People like to tell you it was a close sweep. It'll be interesting to see how much closer they get. I think you probably would favor the Lakers in this one just because it's hard to win on ring night. You're just waiting around a long time if you're the Nuggets. So I wouldn't be surprised to see LA take that win, but that's a spicy matchup.
I would say if anyone has ring night experience, it's LeBron James to try and get his crew going. But I'm totally with you. It's great to see the Nuggets get a game. Obviously, they have to because it is ring night. Then they get one that we'll talk about on Christmas Day. Now, I do think they will get screwed with the time here because the Warriors are hosting another game. I think the Warriors are going to get the better time slot. The Nuggets are going to go early. It's going to be like a 7:30, 8 o'clock Eastern, which is, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock
That's
local.
Point. That's a good point.
And they're not going to like that. maybe it'll be a little sloppy to start, but yeah, four teams from the Western Conference, as we just talked about with the in-season tournament, the best teams are out West in general, like, you know, the bulk of them anyway. But it is a little weird to see no Eastern Conference team and no third game, which they occasionally do. Sometimes they
slip
do.
One in on NBA TV or something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe even a League Pass game.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the Orlando Magic always play on ring night.
<Ooh. laughs>
So they might have a 7:30 tip, the true start of the NBA season. Suns Warriors, obviously, is interesting, too. Kevin Durant versus Steph Curry. Chris Paul and Bradley Beal both making their debuts for their new teams. I kind of didn't even realize that this is going to be Chris Paul versus the Suns. Chris Paul was on the Suns at the end of last season. It feels like a lot has happened since then, but I guess a revenge game for Chris Paul. And interesting, going to obviously be really exciting to see what a team built around three max contracts, four max contracts, and then 11 minimum contracts is in the Suns. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, trying to integrate Chris Paul into the Warriors' ball movement system, that's going to be interesting to see, and we're getting it on the very first night.
I heard, speaking of the Suns, and the Warriors, I heard on a podcast that Kevin Durant had not played in Golden State. And I'm repeating that information here, as I said. Didn't think he went back there. I'm seeing a game here. There's been one game since he left years and years and years ago. It was February 13th, 2021. He was with the Brooklyn Nets, and he played in Golden State. I guess it was a situation where there was less fans. I'm looking at attendance numbers. Doesn't seem like there's any.
They probably still had COVID regulations
yeah.
at that point.
So maybe it's back playing in front of fans for the first time for KD. But yeah, you can't wait to see what that Suns roster looks like in real life instead of this paper. Like, yeah, all those minimum guys, as we've said before. High ceilings with a lot of these names, but some low floors. And that's why they were minimum guys. So can't wait to see what that maybe Bull Bull starting out there.
World is finally going to be introduced to Chimezie Metu. I'm predicting a big Metu dunk on opening night.
That's a possibility for sure. If they get up and down, we called the summer league game. Chimezie Metu was getting up and down for the Spurs, maybe. Anyway, and to just get a slightly more geeky, the NBA season is starting a week later this year. That Tuesday, it's a week later. And the regular season ending a week later. So it's basically the same amount of time. But I think they're trying to bump it up a little closer to the NBA draft. Like, they're just bumping the whole calendar. So there isn't a gap, because last year there was like 10 days between game 5 of the NBA finals and the draft. And so I think they're just trying to make it, you know, make so we don't forget about basketball. That's my guess, but that's why they're starting a week later, again, ending the season a week later, and we get an extra day in there for a leap year.
Wow, that's big time. I did see there were some games scheduled for February 29th. That was one of the teases from Mike Vorkunov. We got a February 29th game coming. I think it's Heat versus Nuggets, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, man.
I hope Vontigo Cummings tunes in. He's got a birthday.
That's
February
his birthday.
29th. Tyrese Halliburton, too, I think, is a February 29th.
Yeah. I couldn't pull it out for sure. That is wild.
Sometimes you just know two players who were born on leap day.
Get your February 29th leap year jokes ready.
So they moved
schedule
the season
that.
Back.
Forward. Back, forward, whatever you want to call
whatever
it.
Whatever you want to call it. I remember when it was a big deal that they moved it the other way. When they started a couple of weeks earlier, that way they wouldn't have as many back-to-backs. So I wonder how that's going to affect teams getting back-to-backs. Like, if the number per team is going to go up, I guess we'll see when the schedule is released.
I think it'll be the same as last year, just because it's basically the same amount of days, I think. Because
just one week later.
It is one week later. I checked every calendar in my house to make sure that they were all correct, and I was looking at the right ones. You get an extra day for a leap year. Yeah, I think the finals, just being closer to the draft, is the whole goal. Yeah.
And we got a World Cup this year, so maybe
that's a good point.
Another week off, or another week to rest in between, but there's the Olympics next year. The other thing I thought that was interesting, we haven't seen the full schedule yet, obviously, but the way that the quarterfinals work for the in-season tournament, the quarterfinal games are going to be played on December 4th and 5th in a team's home arena. So each team currently has two games labeled as TBD on their schedule because they don't know which teams need to actually be playing.
Yeah.
She got two random days that are going to have no games, but we know we're having games that day. That's odd to me. It'll be cool, though.
I say the NBA schedulers have the worst jobs in the world. That's,
tough job.
That's so hard, coordinating with your Taylor Swift concerts and like and the other sports teams in each arena. Like, yeah, what if Taylor Swift decides, okay, I had four shows here. I'm going to do a fifth one because I can sell that one out too. What do they do? What do they do then? I mean, she's I think her schedule's set. It's not like the NBA in-season tournament. She's got places to go. She's
got
to go.
No TBDs on the schedule?
Zero. Yeah. TS has zero TBDs. But, you know, it's a tough gig. So you're right. There's two holes there, and they plan around that because it could be any four. Sorry, the quarterfinals? So
quarterfinals, the knockout rounds, yeah.
Yeah, four games, eight teams have to plan around that. It's a tough gig.
Yeah.
All right. So we also got the five games happening on Christmas Day. Let's see them. That's a list. That's a list, Trey. Bucks, Knicks, 76ers Heat, Celtics, Lakers, Mavericks, Suns, Warriors, Nuggets.
Yeah, this is a Shams report, and we don't have the details of the timing of this, but just from looking at it and knowing where these teams are located in the United States, it seems like that's the order. So five games, you know we got to rank them, Tess.
Let's do it.
Top five, top five, top five. Top five, top five, top five. Oh, yeah. Top five Christmas games for the 23-24 season. You know the five games that are going to be making the list. But I was debating, do I go best to worst or worst to best?
I'm a worst to best man, but I can be swayed.
Well, I'm going best to worst.
Okay.
I think it's more interesting to talk about the worst games. We'll save that for a little bit more discussion. So my favorite game looking at this schedule has got to be the Dallas Mavericks versus the Phoenix Suns. We've got an established rivalry. They met in the playoffs. We've had Booker and Luka Doncic trash-talking each other. We're adding Grant Williams to the mix this year. He's already talked about how he likes that there's already some animosity between these teams, and he trash-talks the entire game anyways, despite being probably the third-best dude on the Mavericks. I think that will add a little bit to the rivalry this year. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a big game, and obviously, I mean, the Suns, that'll probably be one of the biggest moment games they have on the calendar, at least early in the season, so it'll be cool to see them in the bright lights. And then, like I said earlier, I think the Mavs are going to be better this season, so they should at least have the firepower to go head-to-head with Phoenix. You think that's a crazy choice for best?
I'm shocked. Shocked. Just because the Mavs, if there's any question marks amongst these 10 teams.
Yep.
I think it's the first time I can remember that the NBA isn't worried about the Knicks on Christmas Day. The Knicks are just going to be good. We know that. Usually it's the Knicks. I'm not sure why.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's the biggest market, so we put them on there, but they may be bad. The Bucks aren't going to blow out the Knicks. So there's not anything to worry about there. I think the biggest questions are the Mavericks and the 76ers, as you sort of said when we were talking about the in-season tournament. You never know with the Mavs. You just never know.
That's absolutely right.
So that's why I'm a little surprised, but you're probably right. Early in the season, everyone will still be on decent behavior. I say that, and who knows?
You never know. You never know, but I think the potential for Mavs Suns to have fireworks is the highest. So that's why, for me, it came in number one over my number two pick, which I think could be the best game head-to-head, the Warriors versus the Nuggets. We're talking about the last two champions in the NBA. Both teams have great starting lineups. Questions coming off the bench. Chris Paul will be in the mix this season, but that's just two awesome teams going head-to-head. Two teams that have a lot of respect for each other as well, who are both fighting to be the number one team in the Western Conference. I think that has a potential to be like a Christmas classic, but I don't feel like they hate each other enough for it to be number one on my list.
Okay. Yeah. UN rivalry.
Yep.
And also seeing the Warriors and Nuggets in other spots on the schedule, the opening day schedule, and then some rumors about opening night. Yeah. It made me start to think about other teams as well. So Mavericks and Suns, I get it. Yeah. I think the Warriors and Nuggets, I probably would have picked them number one. Chris on Christmas. You mentioned Chris Paul. That's two big games. He's got the Suns. And the Nuggets can't wait to see the rest of his schedule. Guess he's going to play some other teams in the NBA. Anyway, Mavericks, Suns, Warriors, Nuggets. Who you got number three?
Three slot, Celtics and the Lakers. This one's for all the old heads. This is a classic rivalry, the most storied rivalry in the NBA. And we actually had a great Celtics-Lakers game last year. That was the LeBron driving to the hoop. He doesn't get a foul call. The referees said they were going to have many sleepless nights after missing that foul call on LeBron. Patrick Beverley bringing the camera over, showing him, clearly you missed the foul call. It was a spicy one last year. Beverley's gone now. So maybe you're losing a little spice there. We'll talk about Kristaps Porzingis a little bit later, but I don't know. I just feel like I've seen the Celtics for so many years. It just feels like this has been the same team time and time and time again, because it's been Brown and Tatum. But this is undeniably a team, a matchup between two of the best teams in the league.
I think that's the right spot. I think you put them in the right spot. Now, we have gone through three games, five Western Conference teams involved in those games, only one Eastern Conference team. East is down bad right now.
East is down bad right now, and that's why I wanted to talk about these last.
Yeah.
Four and five for me. Currently fourth. I've got the 76ers versus the Heat. I don't want to watch the Heat in the regular season. I wish they didn't have a Christmas game, if I'm being quite honest here. They don't care about the regular season as much, and their grindy style, they just play playoff basketball for the entire season, and I don't know that I necessarily want to see that. I do like Jimmy Butler versus the Sixers, always entertaining. Who knows what Philadelphia will look like come Christmas time, whether it be a trade of James Harden. Who knows? We just don't know what that team is going to look like. I would have much rather have seen the 76ers versus the Bucks. That would have been my choice, for the 76ers to have a game and the Bucks to have a game. Seeing Giannis, seeing Joel Embiid go head-to-head against each other.
And you'd rather have the Heat not play at all?
That's right.
Who would get subbed in? You don't have to make a game of it, but of the...
I've got three choices for you, and they're all Western Conference teams. Anthony Edwards versus the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. Would have loved to see that. Would have been a huge moment for him. I would also have taken a chance on the Oklahoma City Thunder or the Sacramento Kings getting a Christmas game. Kings would be tough to have them play in New York, because New York always gets the very first game, 12:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's 9:30 a.m. for the Kings, so that sucks for them. But Oklahoma City, I think they're Central Time. That's only an hour difference. Same with Minnesota. Grab one of those teams who is pretty far east geographically and let them play the Knicks and get the Heat out of here. So the last game for me, Bucks-Knicks, I don't know. I'm not excited for that game. It's the first national in-season game, too, so they're trying to hype up the Bucks versus the Knicks. I know we did see Giannis jump over Tim Hardaway Jr. in Madison Square Garden once upon a time. But it's just not doing it for me. Those last two, the two games involving the Eastern Conference, I can see why they didn't put them on opening night.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that'll be a good game, though. It may be...
It was Sixers-Knicks, I think, was the kickoff for Christmas in the 22-23 season. And that one was a really good game.
Yeah.
And the Knicks are good.
The Knicks are good, absolutely.
As are the Heat.
Yeah, they're both good teams. The Heat, I think they will... They'll be ready and they'll play, but who knows? One of those is going to be the nap game.
One of those is going to be the nap game.
You can't watch 10 straight hours of basketball. One of those Eastern Conference battles, unfortunately, is going to be a little snooze. But they should be good games. I agree with you on the list of teams that missed out on Christmas Day. I think Ja Morant cost the Grizzlies a Christmas Day game.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Pelicans aren't there shows you kind of the state of the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. They should be there, but with what's going on with Zion, injuries, off court, that's the situation. No Wolves, no OKC was definitely a possibility. Kings a good one, and I guess they don't want to put Wembanyama this early on a Christmas Day game. It's a little too soon, but I could see, you know, if there weren't great storylines besides Wembanyama, I could see him sneaking in there, but now we're getting into like 15, 16, 17 teams. It's deep, and it's mostly Western Conference teams.
Yeah, and Zion Williamson had a Christmas game his rookie year, and he missed it. So that's why they're not putting the Spurs on, because if by chance Wembanyama is not out there, nobody's going to want to be watching the Spurs on Christmas Day. No offense to the Spurs.
Yeah, that's fair. Speaking of missing games, and speaking of tall guys missing games, some injury news right after the break.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Back with No Dunks. It's time for Tweet X of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Yeah, there's a lot of barking on X. I'm not sure if you're hearing. It's Hazel, right, JD? Hazel, the dog yeah. In the background. She was barking during No Bunts as well.
Yeah, I had to bring her in here.
Yeah, oh. She was great in here.
She was fine in here.
Yeah.
It's out there where she sees everything.
Mm-hmm. What do you think she's seeing?
Amazon. Prime trucks back and forth.
It's because they're gas.
Maybe. I don't know.
She wouldn't be barking if they were electric
Absolutely
trucks.
Absolutely not.
Because they're supposed to bring a fleet.
Yeah.
What's yeah, a fleet of Rivians, right?
Yeah, exactly. Amazon was invested in Rivian to bring electric Amazon vehicles to the roads. Hasn't happened yet.
So it's not the neighborhood cats.
Oh, it could. It definitely could be. Could be George cat. Taunting them.
Classic George.
George.
Too many cats out there. I got to be honest. I'm worried when I get in my car sometimes. Like, I'm going to run over a cat.
Yeah. You got to be careful.
Because they're hanging out under cars.
Some, yeah.
That orange one. Is that George?
The orange one is, I think that's Mikey. Yeah. Mikey. George is the long-haired one.
Okay.
Long-haired. He's the king of the street. You don't mess with George.
King of the street jungle. George. George.
George of the yeah.
street jungle.
I thought you were supposed to put S's in cats' names because they like this hissing sound. Michael, I don't know if... that's what I thought. That's why my cat's name is Sushi.
I've never...
Two S's.
Oh, okay. That's really smart.
That's what I've heard.
I've never had a cat, so...
I've never had a cat with an S in its name.
Yeah, you've got cats.
Oh, I have. Yeah.
Boots.
Boots.
There's S. Yeah.
Boots. Fig. Mr. Bojangles, I guess, had an S. Wilbur, yeah. No S.
No S.
Yeah, they like S's, I think. What do I know? This is my first cat. We were calling her She-Ra, and then my mother-in-law said, nah, we're calling her Sushi. More of a hard S rather than the she. Mm. That's not what she said, but she just didn't like She-Ra. Anyway, tweet of the night. You won't like this either. You won't like this news. Couple players missing the World Cup due to injury. Kristaps Porzingis has an injured plantar fasciitis, as was reported by Bobby Manning and Kristaps Porzingis himself. He put it out in Latvian and used that translate. It said the same thing, but it was too long for the screen, so we went with Bobby Manning. And an additional one, Jamal Murray, is out for Team Canada. Just before we jumped on, it became official, Canada Basketball releasing that he will be out for the entire tournament. We knew he was going to miss all of the prelims, all of the friendlies, but there was hope that he'd come back. Unfortunately, these two guys in similar boats, Trey, where they're trying to make it back, but they're worried about the NBA season. So for Celtics fans out there, probably breathing a little sigh of relief, I imagine.
You think Celtics fans are breathing a sigh of relief that Kristaps Porzingis is hurt before the season starts and he already signed an extension? And we just saw the first pictures of Marcus Smart in Grizzlies gear yesterday, the same day that everybody found out about Kristaps Porzingis. I don't think that was a sigh of relief you heard, Tass. I think that was a sigh of exasperation. I don't think Nuggets fans are worried at all. Jamal Murray missed a season and a half, then played the longest season of his career. Understandable that he would take the summer off to get his body right to try and defend the championship.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to me. He doesn't have a new injury. Kristaps Porzingis does have a new injury, which is why you see Knicks fans on Reddit saying, makes sense. They got to make sure he heals up so he can get a fresh injury when the season starts. This is, I mean, it's just plantar fasciitis. Wear and tear kind of injury. The thing that kind of heals with rest.
Right.
As Jay King and Josh Robbins reported, the Celtics are downplaying any concern over the issue. But when a 7'3" guy has foot problems, that is an issue.
Yeah. It's an issue. Bright side. It's hard to find a bright side with Kristaps Porzingis' injuries. And maybe I misheard that. Sigh for exasperation. I'm with you. But it was decided in coordination with the Celtics team. So everyone is having a look at this plantar fasciitis, which, as you said, it is something that is just rest that is needed to heal it. It's not a knee. It's not an ankle. It's not anything to do with the ACL, which he ended his All-Star season with the Knicks way back when. But it does feel like, yes, it will just be another injury, whether or not it's the bottom of the foot, the plantar fascia, just that ligament. It's just a ligament that just needs repair. Nothing happens. It just needs rest to connect your forefoot to your heel, and you're all good. But, the joint decision, as Kristaps said on Twitter, it's between the coaching staff of the Latvian national team and the Celtics. And it's just, he's got to recover now. They kept looking at it via MRI apparently, and it ain't working. So I'm with you. But also, like, it's August. So does it really matter? Like, he should be in camp. I imagine if it came down to 9 days from now when the tournament starts, they made this decision right now, I imagine he'll be in camp. But yeah, it definitely feels like same old, same old.
He's got a month and a half to rest, which is good. But the Celtics lost Grant Williams. Robert Williams misses a chunk of time every single season. Al Horford is 37 years old, so his health could take a turn kind of at any point. Porzingis is a huge piece for this team, and he was the shakeup the team needed. There's already going to be a feeling out period going from Marcus Smart being a defensive leader, being the heart and soul of the team, to now bringing in a new piece who needs the ball in a different way and who just plays a different style of game. There are already injury concerns for Porzingis, and the fact that he's now missing time in games that he's been trying to play, it's worrying for the Celtics. This could be a thing that he takes a month and a half off and we don't hear anything about it again once the season gets here. Or it could be the sort of thing we hear about 2 months into the season. He has another flare-up, and he's got to take 3 weeks off. So, I don't know. It's definitely worrying if you're the Celtics, especially since they made the trade, and they've already decided they're going to pay him going forward as well.
It's Cornette time, baby, in Boston. Unfortunately, reading that thing on The Athletic by King and Robbins, it was Bass King Robbins. Maybe they can collaborate there.
The scoops.
Yes! 31 scoops before the season. An article each day. It brought it into clear focus. Porzingis, Horford is freaking 37, as you said, even though he seemingly looks like he's 27 and he continues to play every year, and we feel like here comes the drop off, and we're saying it in the postseason when the numbers did finally drop off. But also Robert Williams, who only played 35 games last year because they tried to bring him along slowly. Now they've got another guy in Kristaps Porzingis that they're going to try and bring along slowly. They made this deal to get a lot more length in the front court, but as you mentioned, Grant Williams is gone. The positives, why they did it, definitely makes sense. The offense is going to be awesome. They also just wanted a bit of a shakeup. They were willing to say Malcolm Brogdon is in this deal. Oh, Malcolm Brogdon is injured. Here's another guy who's injured.
Yeah.
We're going to throw Marcus Smart, Boston Celtic, Bled Green in it because they wanted to change it up that bad. Luckily for them, Tatum and Brown play every freaking game. So that's not a worry. But, yeah, the big man rotation, literally Luke Kornet's going to be starting games like he did last year because of the Robert Williams situation. So, yeah, great points. Great stuff there. And from the Canadian side, this does take a little bit of juice out of this Canadian roster, undoubtedly. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and him were supposed to be manning a backcourt alongside Lou Dort and guys in the front court that was supposed to be their hole. Maybe their center spot was supposed to be their hole with Dwight Powell and Kelly Olynyk. But those guys are going to have to play more as this team goes big. And I guess Nickeil Alexander-Walker steps in to this World Cup team, probably into a starting lineup role. So he's played well. He looks good. Mm-hmm. So looking forward to the tournament, even if Jamal's not going to be there. But no worries there? You're just because he's been there, done that with injuries?
No worries with regards to his injuries? I don't think so, because this to me seems more like, let me have a summer where I'm not rehabbing an injury. Hopefully I'll be ready for the Olympics, and hopefully Canada makes it to the Olympics. It just gets a little bit tougher. And like you're saying, I think Nickeil Alexander-Walker is the guy who gets the big opportunity to have a role offensively. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander needs to shoot it better from outside as well, I would say, for Team Canada, just because that's something that Murray brings to the table that Shea doesn't necessarily, that perimeter threat to just catch fire from the outside. I don't know. Jokic isn't playing, you know? He's not playing for Serbia, so not a surprise to me that Murray isn't playing as well.
What could have also been tweet of the night was Nikola Jokic and Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon is visiting Nikola Jokic in Serbia, and they're watching Jokic's horse together. And hilarious stuff.
AG was just as hyped as Jokic was.
Yeah. He was loving it. They're buds.
Horse buds.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon got to raise the horse trophy. The trophy.
Hoist the horse trophy.
Yeah.
Wow, Jokic's, man. He could do the Jokic treble. Win a championship, win a horse championship, and then win the in-season tournament. If he does it all in one calendar year, put him in the Hall of Fame right away.
AG. That's great stuff. Yeah, I saw them walking around together. I didn't know they were getting to the horse track. It was a great video. I really enjoyed that. I'm trying to look to see, because you bring up a good point about Jamal Murray could sit and Canada could still qualify, because I do think there's two teams that are qualifying from the Americas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so they could be the second place team in the Americas with their stacked roster. They just got to hope they make it further than the other, the Mexican team and other Americas teams, Puerto Rico and others. So.
Brazil, I think, is are they in the? They're probably in the Americas, I would imagine.
I think they're
seated pretty highly.
Yes, I see them. They're there. They should make it to the next round with their group. So, yeah, we'll be looking forward to that next Friday. That thing starts, and we're watching some of the exhibitions, including Greece versus USA. Join us, playback.tv/NoDunks. It's free. Join us 12 o'clock Eastern on Friday. We'll be watching that game. We'll be back next week to talk a little Hall of Fame, discuss the resumes, and whether guys like Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Rajon Rondo, Al Horford, Blake Griffin, guys like that will get in. Looking forward to that. We'll talk soon. But for now, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, they named a new species of snake after Harrison Ford.
What?
It's the Tachomenoides Harrison Fordy. This is a real thing. They really named a snake after Harrison Ford. And his quote afterwards was, "These scientists keep naming critters after me, but it's always the ones that terrify children. I don't understand. I spend my free time cross-stitching. I sing lullabies to my basil plants so they won't fear the night."
How many things have been named after Harrison Ford?
More than one, I guess.
When you said techno, whatever you said it great, Harrison Fordy. I thought maybe just the letters made it sound like Harrison Ford, but more than one. Critters named after
Tachymenoides Harrison 40. The genus and species of a new snake.
All right, I hope you sleep as well as Harrison Ford's basil plants do. See you next time.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.